This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi, Stacey Cole, and Todd Michaels.
We're talking about the Ellen Greenberg case and the new documentary that is out on Hulu right now. Highly recommend checking this thing out because it really blows the door open on what so many people have been wondering and thinking about this case for quite some time, and lays it out with, I'd say, like scorched earth evidence that really makes you go, okay, something is really not adding up here. Let's take a look. This is our second clip. And this is taking a look at the early homicide ruling that came about a few days into this. It was initially unaliving, and then a few days in, after people had a chance to look at it after the snowstorm, while she was about to be buried, they realized, wait a second, this seems like more. Let's take a look.
Huge blunt force trauma from a knife to the head. How was this ruled a suicide?
I have investigated stabbing suicides in my career. I've never seen anyone stab themselves in the back. There are specific wounds that typically we would call hesitation wounds. They are usually with suicide, and they're very shallow attempts at injury to yourself. There are some that I would call that on Ellen's body. However, a stabbing of this nature with so many wounds is just very atypical.
When Ellen Greenberg's body was taken to the medical examiner's office, the medical examiner, Marlon Osborne, looked at the body and looked at the evidence. And he, in fact, ruled this death a homicide. So they're going to be able to get a real investigation, and this family is finally going to get a call. Your daughter Ellen did not kill herself.
And they did. Unfortunately, they got that call as they were burying Ellen. As is Jewish custom, you bury the body pretty quick, which was like 2 days after. Let's go to our next clip, too, because this ties in. This is about the cleanup and the cover-up with the uncle that we've been talking about. This kind of gives you a little more context into how this all went down.
The police determine this is a suicide. And because of that decision, you don't have a held crime scene, meaning it's not roped off and protected. This apartment is being professionally cleaned by a company called Crime Scene Cleanup. And the very next morning, all of Ellen's electronic devices were taken by her fiancé's uncle, who's not even related to Ellen.
Yeah.
I think you're right, Tony. Like, we can talk about the uncle. We can talk about all that. If something happened here that hasn't been laid out properly by law enforcement and all that, they got lucky that the first responders did what they did, because without that piece, the other stuff could never have happened.
If Sam has anything to do with this, and if he conjured up at the gym or wherever he went that moment, this is because it's like a panicked response, but he got away with it. If he did this, he was able to get that. If you were in that situation, like, because he was very quick to point out, I had to break the door down, and brings this up in the 911 call multiple times. First things he brings up. Then it's also brought up with the first responders, with the police, and there's mental health problems. Well, then this must be what it is. That also, I think, speaks to the miseducation or lack of education for those first responders, whoever was making that decision to say this is a suicide, of understanding human behavior in general. I mean, and why the hell would you just take the word of this guy? I want to know that answer. I want to know who the hell just said, okay, because he said it, This is what we're going with. We didn't see that in the doc. Whoever did that, whoever signed off on that, I'm sure not too keen to have that decision known, because it might be one that they're kicking themselves over, going, how could I have been so stupid?
Excuse me.
Well, the department and the city and the state should be all over that. What the hell happened here?
Well, the department and the city and the state don't want to have any blood on their hands, for lack of a better term.
I was just going to say, yeah.
Unfortunately, it's starting to look like maybe. That's all I'll say.
Are they covering up for someone, or are they covering for themselves? And whoever did this is just riding the coattails of that, of pure dumb luck, because nobody has ever gotten very deep on this, like this documentary did, and enrage the public enough to start getting some pressure behind it. Because in so many cases, as we've seen, things will sit and nothing will happen. Just because they're ordered by a court to say, you got to go reexamine this, doesn't mean they're going to do it. They still haven't done it. They have to go to court again in mid-October. The 14th is the next hearing, to go, come on, guys, you've already been ordered by the grownups to do this, so you better get on it. And we'll see what happens. But, you know, being ordered to do something and following through are apparently two different things. It's not exactly obligated. You can just keep telling them and spending money and getting court orders that never actually take place. So it's maddening. The question, though, is why will we not look into this, or why will they not look into it the way that is needed? And at the end of the day, can we get to an answer in this case also? Or is this one of those where, it certainly looks suspicious, and there's so many questions, all the questions we're answering or talking about right now, or trying to theorize answers on, and others have already done this in the past. Maybe investigators have already done this in the past. And the real answer is, a lot of circumstances here, not enough evidence to get a charge. I don't know that there is enough to get a charge, more or less a conviction, because, again, the evidence was all destroyed.
And that's fine. If that's what it is, then communicate that with us.
Yes.
And I think, you know, the question is there a cover up from the government, or is there a cover? I think there's a combination of cover ups going on.
Here. I do too.
Yeah.
I feel like there's two.
One on top of another.
Yep.
And they mutually benefit one another. Let's take a look at the security guard. This is what he had to say in the documentary on the new one on Hulu.
I just figured they were into some kind of argument and he got locked out. He was pacing back and forth, and I don't know, he looked worried about something.
When he came again, he was much more agitated. He said, I need to get in the fucking unit. So I said, well, is something wrong with her? He said, I don't know. And as he was departing from the front desk, he said, well, I'm just gonna knock the fucking door down.
That's for the police to do.
I don't think so. I disagree. If you can't get into your apartment and you don't know what's going on with your fiance, she could be in danger, I'm going to knock that fucking door down too.
I probably would too, Stacey.
Okay. Yeah,
there's no waiting for the police in a situation like that.
I'd call my friend Stacey with the 8 or 9 knives laying around her apartment and see if she can come over and do some damage on it. But yeah, if my loved one was in there, that door is coming down.
Yeah, you're making a good point. But the point that where I'm coming from is that an apartment door is very different than other doors. You know, they have the latches, all of like the deadbolt.
There's only one deadbolt on this thing. We know what it is. It looks like a hotel door.
Right, exactly. To me, that seems like it would be difficult to break down, like a metal door.
It doesn't look like any sort of special door, quite honestly. It looks like it's not a metal door necessarily. It looks like your average. I think I've had more apartment doors that are a hell of a lot weaker than my home doors. This doesn't look like it was that difficult of a door to break down.
Okay.
Quite honestly. So,
and even if it was, I'd still be going ape shit on it.
Yeah.
And they'd come and I maybe didn't get in, but the door would be beat up pretty freaking good just from me losing my mind.
That's the other argument on this. You're going to break the door down and then all we see is just like a little bit of of wood that seems to be kind of out of place on the side of the lock that's affixed to the frame. It doesn't exactly look like you broke the door down, and you would likely have a hell of a lot more damage than what we saw. That's where I go back to, you got to make the scene look like something. Well, I mean, you could certainly do that from the inside, and make it appear as if this thing was locked and you got in. And I'm sorry, there's ways of getting past those fucking bolts. There are. They're not that difficult to bypass. I've been locked out of an apartment before by myself. They even talked about it on the thing where it's like, and if you slam it or something, sometimes it can, you know, wave, and then it'll the pressure of it or the vibration can make the latch swing over. There's ways. It's not that it's not rocket science to be able to get in. The way that this was portrayed as being such a feat. Let's go to our next clip. This is taking a look at what took place and the oddness, the strange feelings that the property manager had as the uncle came to get some stuff.
I know I was letting someone else in that I didn't know, and I didn't want to be held responsible for anything missing. When I went into the apartment, the thing that I remember the most is the setting. I remember walking in and seeing blueberries on the counter, a couple of knives in the sink. It was so serene, you know, cleaning the fruit in the kitchen, just an everyday event. That's what it looked like. There was laptops. I remember the engagement ring. And then I remember the blood. I didn't stay the entire time with the cleanup crew, but I do remember that they had on hazmat suits and protective gear, and they put everything in the dishwasher and turned it on and wiped it up, and that was it. Two men arrived. One was Sam's uncle. I wanted to do my best in balancing my sympathies and helping the family as well as my role as property manager. So I did stay there with them as they walked around. I just stayed in the living room. They weren't in there too long, maybe 15 minutes or so, and then I locked up behind them.
Okay, something she said there, the engagement ring.
Yep, that's right. She was not wearing her engagement ring.
But now she could have taken it off because she was cleaning fruit, but that doesn't sound like somebody who doesn't want to live anymore. I'm going to make a fruit salad, and then I'm going to check out.
Oh, and get gas right before.
And also, she was not wearing her ring a lot. People were asking her about that. That was brought up in the documentary.
Yes.
Yeah, and that's why I'm wondering if she decided, this is not
for me.
You're not the person for me. I don't want to be with you. I've changed my mind. I don't like the trajectory of my life. I'm making some changes, and he gets pissed off.
Which we all know, those moments are the most dangerous for anybody. If you're having that conversation, and like if something's going to happen, that's going to be your best odds of something horrible happening.
Yep.
Right at that moment in time.
Yep.
So, yeah, I mean, and again, they also said not a struggle at the scene. Take a look at crime scene photos. You know, those photos were taken by? They were taken by the building manager. Because she went in and said, this is kind of weird that...
Mm-hmm. And you know what? Thank God for her. Like, she was really kind of smart in this whole thing when she walked in and videotaped it and all that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. Thank God she did that.
And because the knife block is laid down.
Yeah.
I mean, it looks like it looks like if someone's like running to get it. If you're going to do this to yourself, which number one, stabbing yourself is insanely low. The odds are like next to none. And then the amount of times, again, we can get into that 50 ways to Tuesday. It's impossible what she did pretty much through most accounts. Nothing adds up. Nothing adds up in this case. And when I add this, and it has nothing to do with the case, but the knives just go in the dishwasher after they were like, after they killed, if somebody was in somebody and they died, and you're like, well, we can still, it's still good for apples. It's just like, why are these? I guess, I mean, that the sad part is, yes, that is how that works.
I thought you were looking at it more from the foodie that you are, and you would never put a good knife in a dishwasher.
Well, no shit, those are hand wash.
Right, exactly. That's where I thought you were going.
Those were Henkel knives.
I was just going to say, I've got those knives. I do not put those bastards in the dishwasher. I mean, we know that they're lying around my apartment, but no, I hand wash my
Look,
knives.
If somebody ends up dead in my house, it's probably because they put them in the dishwasher.
That's well, there you go. And now, save this clip, Todd.
Yep, it's I marked it.
Okay, just good. Saying, just saying. That or pans. You don't put pans in a dishwasher either. Let's watch another clip here.
We'll have to talk later on that one.
For what, pans in a dishwasher?
Yeah.
Well, you don't cook, so.
I'm starting to. I have to. I'm a single woman. I can't eat Subway for the rest of my life.
Okay, well then tip, don't put your pans in a dishwasher.
Thank you. I guess
start
I'll
out
stop.
Right. It destroys them. It destroys the seasoning on the pan. It'll make them sticky, and you don't want to do that. So don't ever put pans and pots in a dishwasher.
Okay, we'll talk later.
Let's take another look, another clip here. This is the medical examiner talking about, this is talking about the medical examiner here in our next clip.
The medical examiner found that she had died of stab wounds to her chest and torso. Because of those findings, investigators with the homicide unit returned to the apartment today to search for any additional evidence that could result in this becoming a case of murder.
Once the medical examiner ruled this a homicide, it's like, whoa, go back and investigate. Too late, we allowed the crime scene to be cleared, which allowed cleaners, professional cleaners, and I'm not talking residential cleaners, I'm talking crime scene cleaners, to come in and clean the crime scene.
We're saying it's a suicide, and then 2 days later, we're saying it's a homicide. So they gave the window to be able to clean the scene up. The scene is tainted. As far as my personal investigation, I've never been out after a professional company cleaned the crime scene up.
When a scene has a computer or a cell phone or a laptop, you tend to want to seize those and to keep those in a safe place. There's this whole concept in law enforcement and investigation and in court cases known as chain of custody. Where was this evidence? Who took control of it?
While retrieving items for the funeral, Ellen's devices were taken out of her apartment by two members of Sam Goldberg's family, specifically his uncle Jamie Schwartzman, a prominent Philadelphia attorney. After her death was ruled a homicide, he turned the devices over to the police.
So what should be done wasn't done.
So many errors happened in this case that all snowballed. You don't have crime scene unit coming. You don't have investigation.
So all of that, it just adds up to this mad moment where everyone was able to walk away from this and not have any sort of repercussion. I mean, at the end of the day, snow, I guess snow is to blame. The bad weather is what really allowed a lot of this to take place, because the homicide investigator, they were on, a very tight list of what they would be able to respond to. And at that moment in time during that nor'easter, this wasn't one of them. It would have had to have been an active homicide investigation for them to be called out, but they weren't. So I do wonder how much that played into it as well. Was this a really just dumb move by somebody of, well, it's snowy. You know, we don't want to overextend ourselves for real emergencies. For whatever reason, this didn't register as someone as a real emergency because the person's already dead. I wonder how much that played into the decision of saying this is a suicide and let's not bother the homicide investigator and call her out in the middle of this blizzard.
There's just so many failures here. I don't know what to say. How many facets of this case needed to fail to get to where we are?
Mm-hmm.
A lot.
Yeah. And it's just this cascade of events. For lack of a better term, it snowballed. Like one failure after another. And I don't know if it was intentional or if it was just so many people dropped the damn ball. But
so it makes it like a perfect storm in a lot of ways.
I mean, literally.
It really, really does.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Brewski and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Mr. Monopoly here. Monopoly is back at McDonald's. Register in the McDonald's app so you're ready to
get your bag.
Two ways to peel for a chance to
get your bag.
Physical peels with select items and digital peels with others to
get your bag.
Play Monopoly at McDonald's.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
No purchase necessary. See rules at playatmcd.com for full details and amoe.playatmcd.com to play without purchase. Ends November 23rd, but bonus play ends November 2nd. Monopoly is a registered trademark of Hasbro. Copyright McDonald's.